Live from Patton Rock in Nicosia, Sicily, the site where Nurse Margie Watterson slapped George Patton, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, author, statesman, musician, the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers. A man who, if not 6'7", is at least 6'6½", Richard J. Ringhausen. And welcoming our special guest host, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers, musician, mail carrier, stamp collector, first grappler for the U.S. Post Office Traveling Alligator Wrestling Squad, and a man who's not afraid to have a parrot on his shoulder, Bradford J. Ringhausen. And are you ready? Daredevil, marksman, sculptor, the 7-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion, and winner of the silver medal at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. A man who could once walk on his hands and can still walk on his feet. The other youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers and the star of your show, Alan Ringhausen. Woo! Yeah! And we have another Ringhausen. Another Ringhausen Brother. Introduce yourself.
Not Dennis.
That limits it down, and you're not Greg either, right?
Oh, my. I thought Greg's dead, right?
Well, he's getting there.
Well, he called me the other day and said he was. So you're the first banjoist. Man, I'm in the same orchestra. I'm Juice Harp. I'm first Juice Harp. And I haven't seen you there. That's why I'm...
I don't think they call it a Jew's harp anymore, do they?
Well, those in the know call it Jew's harp.
Jew's harp, that's what you used to play when you were in the band, Larry and the Clunks. Didn't you play the Jew's harp?
Yeah. Oh, the Jew's harp. No, what do they call it? A mouth harp?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
The doing, doing, doing thing?
The thing Snoopy plays in some Charlie Brown movie.
Oh, I don't know that. Wow. Okay.
Okay, you done with this whole thing, or are we gonna talk about the topic here?
The topic, man. Let's talk about the topic.
What's the topic of this?
The topic that I wanted to talk about was things that give you the heebie-jeebies. I saw a thing on the internet where they describe things that give people the heebie-jeebies.
Okay.
And I got a list of them, but I'll also ask you whether you got any of your own. To me, you know, before I start this list, the one that creeps me out more than anything is like when you're walking on a trail or in your backyard, or I guess in your garage, and you walk through a spider web that you didn't know was there. Okay. That makes my skin crawl. I do not like walking through spider webs.
Yeah, you get used to it.
You two hunt and go out in the woods. You surely have walked through spider webs before.
Yeah, I still don't like them. Still don't like them. I've gotten over my
You know, fear. There's those long...
Go ahead.
There's those long stringy ones, right? But then there's the big ones, you know, that look like a bullseye, a great big spider web like that. When you walk through one of them, don't you wonder if the spider's on you someplace?
Oh, man. Yeah. And let me tell you, you get a big web, you get a big spider.
I know. And they're usually right in the middle. So if you've walked through the web, that big spider's on you someplace.
Yeah. Could be. That's why I'm washing my clothes again.
Do you remember years ago when we were playing around along the bluffs along the river, and we were doing a little cave exploring?
Yeah.
And I went into this one cave, and it was pretty tight, pretty narrow. and I'm scooching my way back because I could see the little bit farther back, it opened up to where it was wider. And as I'm scooching back in there, I'm already got the heebie-jeebies because I'm claustrophobic as hell. But then I get back in there and my, I had a light on my cap and it had turned off as I was crawling through the cave, the narrow spot in the cave. And then when I got to the wider spot, I turned the light back on and there were like a million mosquitoes back in this cave because it was winter and they hibernate back in these caves because the temperature's consistent. And I got freaked the hell out, man.
I thought you were going to say rats.
Yeah.
Why did it have to be rats?
Why did it have to be rats?
Yeah, it was like a gazillion bugs. I mean, tell me when it's over.
Okay.
That really bothered me. Mine used to be mice.
Yeah, I remember that. We used to torment you with mice.
And hunting got me over that.
Yeah, because you're living with them.
Yeah, you really are. But
what,
snakes...
like now in your home, you live with mice?
No. When you go out in these hunting blinds, and they set you know, idle for you know, like 360 days out of the year, and there's only like 5 days that they have any kind of human interaction. And during that rest of the year, the mice come in and take up residence in them.
Oh,
but while you're sitting in there, you know, you're sitting there being real quiet and, you know, not moving and stuff. And the mice come out to play. And it's really creepy.
Yeah.
I wonder if, like, duck hunters have that when they go out to the blinds for the first time in the season, that it's, like, full of snakes or...
Oh, exactly. They probably
water
have
rats.
Yeah, huh? They probably have snakes.
I got to figure duck blinds got snakes in it. That when you go duck hunting... The new guy is the guy who goes into the blind first and gets it ready.
Yeah.
Well, going into the blind's a privilege. Bob, get in there. You're the new man. You get to go first.
Taking my grandson duck hunting for the first time. Come on, son. Let's go out. And by the way, you're going into the blind first because you're the most special.
Go get him, Benjo.
Okay. According to my list, one of the things that creep people out when they ask this question is pulling food out of a kitchen sink drain strainer.
Like what? Like a big string of sausages and
no, I guess like when you scrape your dishes and stuff off that there's the remains of food like in the bottom of the drain, and cleaning that out is something that gives people the heebie-jeebies.
They just leave it down in there. Why are you pulling it back out? It's not like you're going to eat it.
Well, yeah. I guess because as a matter of hygiene, you don't want to have rotten
it's
food.
And the drain is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, now, food in a drain, no, but hair in a drain, I can't handle that.
Pulling a big clump of hair out of the shower drain.
Yeah.
I keep thinking that the days of me losing hair into the shower drain are going to go away.
Oh.
Hey, Rick, take my word. It slows down.
If I pull a bunch of hair out of the drain, hey, there's no argument on whose it is. I don't have that much left, so.
Do you, like, carry it over to your wife and say, look at the hair I just pulled out of the drain.
Look at this. Look at this.
No, Brad's pushing her face down in there saying, look at this.
Is this your hair, Larry? Is this your hair? Okay.
It says that people, when they listed the things that give them the heebie-jeebies, blown up photographs of insects give people the creeps.
It doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother me.
It's just a picture. It's just an image.
Yeah, I think so. Here's one that I thought was interesting. Baby rabbits or mice that are still hairless, that when people like find a spot, like let's say you're cleaning out your closet and there's a spot where a mouse has had a bunch of babies and they're like in a clump and they're hairless, that creeps people out.
No, not bothering me.
You just leave them in your closet?
Well, my closet's a little mouse-free.
To be honest with you, Rick, I've not encountered that.
Well, me neither.
Okay, there we go.
Here's one that said that creeps people out is even if you don't get stung, walking on to or walking in front of like a hornet's nest or a wasp nest when you don't expect it to be there.
Well, let's say, I think let's it gives say you're, you a little you're, surprised, but it's not giving me the heebie-jeebies.
If you don't expect it to be there, you can't really get, you don't have time to get the heebie-jeebies.
Well, I don't know.
You just got to run.
Like, they're saying that, like, if you're on a ladder going up to clean your drains out, and as you're reaching up to the gutter, you see, like, there's a big wasp nest hanging under it. You didn't think it's there. You kind of give that
it's feeling, kind of a moment of terror.
Yeah. Well, that's the heebie-jeebies, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Heebie-jeebies a little different. A little bit different.
There's lots of wasp nests in mailboxes. So.
Oh, I bet there are.
Really? Yeah. That's interesting.
Now I will say this, after a rain, or especially in the spring when there's a lot of rain, you'll get to a mailbox and you open that mailbox and there'll be 8 million ants in the mailbox.
Really?
Ants.
Have you ever opened a mailbox and had a wasp nest in it?
Yes. I carry wasp spray with me.
And dog spray.
And dog spray, but you know, yeah. And but they say so here's one for all of the listeners, for the millions of listeners, is for ants, you put a dryer sheet, you know, like a bounce dryer sheet.
Yeah.
Just put that in your mailbox and you'll never have ants in there.
Won't the mail carrier take it away the very first time they take the mail?
Well, not if there's not a stamp on it.
Okay.
Good point.
Here's one that I found interesting. Being cut with a chainsaw, the thought of being cut with a chainsaw creeps people out and gives them the heebie-jeebies.
Been there.
You've never actually cut yourself with a chainsaw.
When were you ever cut with a chainsaw?
I was up in a peach tree. Me and Nate were out pruning trees, and with peach trees, there's not so much pruning as it is chainsawing, and I sawed right through the limb and right onto my leg. Yeah.
I don't remember you getting stitches for a chainsaw cut.
I didn't get stitches. It tore my jeans up and kind of just like scarred my leg all over my thigh. But, yeah.
Did it give you the heebie-jeebies?
It kind of did that day. Let me tell you.
Let's see.
Like, that's pretty bad.
It says, here's one, having mice crawl on you. That you're sitting at home and a mouse crawls up your pants leg or something. That creeps people out. Heebie-jeebies.
I think that would give me the heebie-jeebies, having to... You know, like waking up in the night with a mouse crawling across your face, that would give me the heebie-jeebies. Or feeling it crawling around under the blankets while you're in there with it. That would give me the heebie-jeebies.
My kids tell me that we had mice in the house when we lived in Hardin, and that there was a time they were having a sleepover. That one of them was sleeping on the couch and a mouse ran over her.
Okay. Well, probably. I remember how you lived.
She said she had the heebie-jeebies.
River town. That's to be expected.
Yeah, you also had an infestation of snakes in that same house, didn't you?
Black snakes, yeah.
And bees out in the yard.
That too, yeah. But it's just one of the costs
and
of living.
A flood.
Living
it. You had a flood. And
the deer.
The deer were swarming upon you.
You know, Suzanne said one time she came home from work and there's a big coyote that's standing in the driveway and she'd get out, you know, and it's going to like scare it away. It wouldn't run away. She said it just stood there no matter if she clapped her hands and yelled or nothing.
She was outside clapping at a coyote.
She said
you
so.
You buy that story?
You know, going, shoo, get away. Well, you're standing there. I mean, it's close to you and you're getting out of the car. You're going to just say, hey, give it a pat on the head and move on. Of course, you're going to try to shoo it away, wouldn't you?
Are you sure that it wasn't?
Into the house and say, Rick, you got to go out. There's a coyote outside.
And kill the coyote.
With an axe.
What, you think I'm Frank Lloyd Wright?
Or one of his employees. I'll tell you something gives me the heebie-jeebies are close talkers. I don't like somebody leaning in talking to me real close.
You're afraid they're going to kiss you?
No.
You're afraid they're going to give you some disease, like a diseased monkey?
I think that it's going to be like a cooties or a cootie heebie-jeebie cootie.
You got lots of problems.
You shut up.
Here's a bizarre one that I thought. It says snagging a toenail on a blanket or a sock when you're putting a sock on that gives people the heebie-jeebies.
Do it every night. It's annoying. Okay, here's one that used to really bother me. You know, we used to ride the school bus, you know, like for hours. And in the wintertime, you'd get on the school bus and the windows were frosted. And there would be people who would scratch the frosting off the window with fingernails. I never liked that. I don't think people should have been allowed to do that.
Well, it's not like a chalkboard. It's just ice.
Hey, before we go any further, I got a commercial.
All right.
Today's episode of the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by the Blooming Grove Tourism Board. Are you a student of Warren G. Harding and love everything about Warren G. Harding, the president? Well, then you don't want to go another day without visiting Blooming Grove, Ohio, the birthplace of Warren G. Harding. First thing, take a tour or take a trip down the street and see the beautiful Victorian two-story house where Warren G. Harding was born, and you can see where it used to stand before they tore it down. Then take a stroll through Blooming Grove's historic district where you can visit the home of Warren G. Harding's childhood sweetheart, Katie Solomon, which burned down in 1899. And, of course, no visit to Blooming Grove would be complete without a stop at the Warren G. Harding Museum, where you can see such one-of-a-kind artifacts as a reproduction of Harding's fourth-grade classroom, an extensive collection of period clothing, and real caramel popcorn balls, just like the ones Warren's mother, Phoebe, used to make. Warren G. Harding, America's forgotten president, forgotten no longer. Paid for by a grant from the Ohio State Historical Commission and the Blooming Grove Community Development and Tourism Association.
That's just great.
My favorite president.
You know, it's interesting. I did look up Blooming Grove, Ohio after I saw that. It's not even an incorporated town. I mean, to what extent really can they, doll up Warren G. Harding to make it interesting to go to Blooming Grove, Ohio?
Isn't he considered like one of the worst presidents of all time?
Yeah.
He's got competition.
Oh, yeah, you know. Are you getting paid?
Okay, here's one that's on my list, and it's clowns.
Clowns give you the creeps?
They don't give me the creeps. I don't understand the problem with clowns.
I've never understood that either.
There are people, though, that's like a major phobia. I think they even have a name for it. Clownophobia.
I don't think that's it, but there is a fear of that. And I've never gotten it.
No. I mean, you know, The Simpsons, my God, Krusty's awesome.
Yeah.
Here's one that I agree with. Maggots. When people find something with maggots, it gives them the heebie-jeebies. You're not expecting them, and there they are.
Yeah, maggots can...
All right, so... this has been years ago.
You got a maggot story? I got a maggot story.
I got a maggot story. Went to the Illinois State Fair to see the Beach Boys perform at the Illinois State Fair. And we get up there, and the Beach Boys are late. And, you know, so they announced, you know, I can't even remember who the opening act was anymore. They played longer than anybody wanted to hear.
Air Supply.
Guess it wasn't Maggot Brain.
And said that the Beach Boys are still running late. So what was supposed to be an 8 o'clock show started at 11.
Wow, that's really
we
late.
Had,
wow, that's late for the Beach Boys.
Okay, but here's the deal. They sell beer in the grandstand at the Illinois State Fair, okay? So this additional three-hour wait on top of the pre-gaming that we'd already done.
So this was back in the day.
Situation. So anyway, when we're coming home then, it's really late at night. And we're all really full, so we had to stop and take a pit stop. And we're standing along Interstate 55 outside of a van that we'd all piled into. And laying there alongside the road in the dark is a possum. It was, you know, dead.
Dead possum.
Dead possum.
And as far as you know. Mike Stevens
runs up and kicks it off the side of the road, which was, you know, a pretty dumb thing to do. But anyway, we all piled back into the van and we're driving down the road in the dark. And finally, Steven says, "Hey, turn on the light. I feel something." And when we turn on the light inside the van, his foot and sock and his pants leg are completely covered with maggots from kicking the dead possum.
Did you all pull over and all fall out of the van?
Oh, did we ever? You talk about the heebie-jeebies. We had them that night.
So what did you do about something like that?
Well, in the condition that we were in, we decided that pouring beer on it would get rid of the maggots.
Of course.
I'm guessing that didn't work.
We did it for a little while, but then nobody really wanted to give up the rest of their beer.
So you just let him out by the side of the road and drove off, right?
No, he got out and shook it off and stomped his foot. And he had to sit in the back of the van by himself then for a while because nobody wanted to get close to him.
Shake it off.
That's probably par for the course.
All right, Brad. Brad, let's hear yours.
Oh, mine's not near that good. I was out, I was mowing the lawn I was 20, maybe, living in Jerseyville, and a buddy of mine came over, and I guess we had, we'd gone fishing, like the day before, and we just, you know, in a drunken mess, you know, just threw all the fish out in the yard. Anyway, my buddy shows up just as I'm mowing the lawn, and I'm like, "Hey, look at that." And he comes walking over. He's like, "What? What do you got?" I said, "It's one of those fish. Look at all the maggots on it." And he puked on the spot.
This instant.
Instant.
Wow. What was it? What caused that? You kind of broke up there.
Just all these maggots on this fish in the yard, and my buddy just puked right on the spot, and of course I laughed at him.
Okay, let me ask you this: if you were, you know, somebody to, you know, bet you that you wouldn't eat a live maggot, how much would you have to get before you would take that challenge? $20? Would you eat a maggot for $20?
No.
You sound like you're in junior high.
Would you eat it for $100?
No.
$1,000. You wouldn't eat a maggot for $100?
No.
$1,000, Brad.
No. Oh,
oh,
wait a minute.
Oh, man. I've already eaten a dozen by now. $1,000 for a maggot? I would do that tomorrow. You find a maggot and I'll eat it. You put up the $1,000, I'll eat the maggot.
$1,000. That's a crop. That's a couple of truck payments there. So I'd have to think about that.
It's too late. I already took the challenge, Brad. You're going to have to eat the maggot for a lot less before you're back into this deal.
You know, it's kind of like those internet challenges that go around the dump a bucket of cold water on you.
Eat a mouse.
This would be a new one. Eat a maggot.
I'm thinking there's going to be some people step into that one and eat a maggot for a hell of a lot less than $1,000.
Oh, I'm sure of that. Okay, I got one more that I saw on this list that I agreed with. Chicken juice creeps people out.
Like if chicken juice. I always call that broth.
No, chicken I'm talking about like when you have like you've bought chicken and it's cooked. Or it's not cooked, it's raw. And when you take it out of the bag, there's like juice in it. Like,
no, not a problem.
Chicken juice?
Not a problem.
That, oh my God. That just creeps me out. I cannot eat chicken. Like when people say, oh, this is moist, delicious chicken. I want my chicken to be as dry as a bone when it's cooked. I
do just not the way want, mom used to make it.
I don't want chicken juice in it.
Chicken hamburgers doesn't matter. Just steak? Like home,
it ain't so good until it's crunchy.
How do you want your steak? Well done. I don't want to see no red in it.
Oh yeah, we'll buy chicken, and I'll be in the kitchen, you know, cutting it up. And Lori, she has to go in the other room. She cannot
really
be in the kitchen while I'm cutting it up. No, nope.
See, I agree with Lori on this one.
She can't even be in the same room.
There's just something about it that's just too horrifying for words.
It's no different than the juice in a Vienna sausage can. Same.
Oh, don't say that. Oh, don't say that.
It's all the same thing.
That is not just coagulated chicken juice around Vienna sausages, I guarantee you.
Well, no, it's pork juice.
That's different, man.
How much would you take in a bet to drink a shot glass full of raw chicken juice?
I couldn't. There's not a figure you're going to throw at me.
Brad, $100.
I don't know about chicken juice, but I can drink a whole can of Vienna sausage juice.
The Vienna sausage slime?
Oh, yeah.
You can just eat that with a spoon?
Yeah, it's just half salt.
Hmm.
I can get them and dip my Vienna sausage in it.
That might not be bad. Oh, here's one. Having your heart miss a beat gives people the heebie-jeebies.
Well, you know more about that than we would.
Let me tell you what. I have what they call PVCs, premature ventricular contractions.
Can't they fix that with a pill?
That's what I was gonna say. They got Viagra.
Different premature. It's premature ventricular contraction. PVCs, they call them. And it's when your heart just skips, it stops briefly and starts again. I mean, and you feel it in your chest. I mean, you're walking along or sitting reading a book, and all of a sudden your heart just stops. And for a brief flash of an instant, you wonder, am I dying right now? Is this how I'm going out? And then it starts again. And yes, there's pills that you take to keep that under control. But when it happens, man, it creeps you out. It is the definition of creep you out.
Well, I'm the picture of health, so.
Yeah, I've never experienced that either. But if you're asking me if it bothers me when your heart skips a beat, not too much.
Mercy. Do you guys have
your
wheels?
Hey, Rick.
Yeah.
If Brad held you down while I poured a shot of chicken juice into your mouth, would that make your heart skip a beat?
I think we're not going to find the answer to that out because we've reached the end of our time.
Have we now?
We have indeed.
Oh my goodness.
Isn't this gives me the heebie jeebies. Anyway, See you later from Rick Gator,
Bird Gator,
and Alligator.
This has been a Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Dem's Roasters. Tastes just like really dry chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal business in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator and Brad Gator. This has been a Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production. Accept no substitutes, because there aren't any. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah.